Hello and welcome. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington with the program that helps you learn American English. We have two stories for you today. First, we traveled to South Africa. The country is having big problems with power. The complete story is just moments away. Then, some interesting news about health, your heart, and 3D printers. Here is part one. South Africa is facing an electricity crisis. South Africans have been experiencing a growing number of electricity blackouts, also known as power outages. Christopher Cruz reports.
The state-operated power company Eskom provides South Africa with 95% of its electricity. Eskom officials expect the company to lose billions of dollars over the next 4 years. So the government is planning to sell parts of the business in an effort to limit the losses. But opposition lawmakers and labor unions strongly oppose the plan. The government is now seeking to limit the damage to its political power while working to end the biggest threat to the nation's economy. Eskom's top official, Shadizo Matona, announced this month that the power outages will probably continue over the next year and a half. Eskom controls the production, transmission, and distribution of electric power in South Africa. In industrial countries, a combination of private businesses and government agencies do this work. Natasha Michaels is a member of the opposition Democratic Alliance. She studies publicly operated businesses for her party. She says Eskom should end its control over electricity in South Africa.
The main reason that we find ourselves in the crisis that we are in right now is basically due to Eskom having such a complete and total monopoly around the energy production and energy distribution in our country. And I think now more than ever, it's become apparent that this is a very unhealthy relationship.
The government plans to give Eskom $1.8 billion and sell parts of the company for $2 billion to help ease its financial crisis. Over the past 10 years or so, many people have discussed selling the power company to private business. But the Communist Party and powerful unions oppose privatization. These two groups have traditionally supported the ruling African National Congress. An opposition party, the Economic Freedom Front, also opposes privatization. Sean Nell represents a group of businesses that use large amounts of energy. He says the group supports the entry into the electricity system of what are called private independent power producers, or IPPs.
Privatization of Eskom is not ideological palatable, but the use of IPPs, I think, is something which while has been problematic in the past, they've come to realize that they actually can't afford the South African balance sheet to maintain that level of investment. So IPPs, I don't think, are unpalatable, but the breakup of Eskom and privatization of Eskom definitely is.
At one time, South Africa did not have problems with its power supply. In the 1980s, the country produced more power than it used. Around that time, South Africa's mining operations, processing and construction industries started expanding. These businesses need a lot of electricity to operate. They soon became the main driver of South Africa's economic growth. 20 years ago, South Africa had a large supply of the world's least costly electricity. Chris Yelland is an energy expert. He says today, Eskom is in a financial hole. He says it cannot be rescued until the government makes difficult political choices.
Ideologically, the government is kind of hamstrung through its partnership with Labour and its partnership with the South African Communist Party. I personally believe that Eskom should contemplate selling certain of Eskom assets in order to diversify the electricity sector of South Africa and raise the money in that way.
I'm Christopher Cruz.
You are listening to VOA, and we are coming to you from Washington. Researchers are now using three-dimensional, or 3D printing, to create models of the human heart to help heart specialists. The heart doctors can use the models to better help patients before an operation. Surgeons regularly use digital images to explore the heart in close detail. But no two human hearts are alike. This led Matthew Bramlett to create exact heart models from those images. Jonathan Evans has more on the story.
Dr. Bramlett is a pediatric or children's heart expert at the University of Illinois College of Medicine. He says the 3D models show information he cannot get any other way.
Even a print heart that's printing or X-ray, you know, sort of spinning on the screen, it's still a 2D screen. And so what we've done with the printed models, we pull it out of the screen so that you can actually hold it in your hand and evaluate the anatomy sort of for the first time in a manner that makes sense and is logical.
A 3D printer uses images from a digital display to create a physical model of a human heart. Matthew Bramlett says doctors can use the model, in his words, to understand the anatomy for the first time. Pictures from medical tests like CAT scan or MRI are sent to a 3D printer to create a heart in a plaster or clay form. The printer then constructs the heart, thin layer by thin layer. Dr. Bramlett says the model matches the real heart in every detail. When we're done with the model and made our decision, we want to be able to go back to the source image and confirm those findings, he says. Dr. Bramlett has built model hearts for different kinds of heart operations. All of the operations were successful. In his first case, digital images showed only one tiny hole in a baby's heart. But the 3D printed model showed several defects or problems that the baby was born with. Dr. Bramlett says those defects could not be seen easily in the images. The heart surgeon was able to change the type of surgery for the patient based on the 3D model. He added that 3D heart models save time during heart operations.
In the future, you know, we might get that information as to, you know, we need to stop the heart to sort of.
Kathy Magliotto is a cardiac surgeon at St. John's Health Center in Los Angeles. She welcomes the new technology. She says it could help her make better decisions before she operates on the hearts of her patients.
The fact that I can then take this very complicated structure, which has just an endless possibilities of what it could look like anatomically when I open the body, and you give it to me before the operation, that I can hold it in my hand and plan an operation around what I'm seeing, touching, and feeling, that to me is what can potentially change the game on an operation and save lives.
Matthew Bramlett continues to research the technology. He is working with the National Institutes of Health to build a 3D library that includes heart models and images that others can use. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. This is The Voice of America.